A scathing report out today details what Governor Baker calls an abject failure of leadership in the handling of the coronavirus outbreak at the Soldiers' Home in Holyoke late March. Here he is speaking at a press conference earlier today.
But as this report reveals, errors were made at the Holyoke Soldiers' Home before COVID-19. More errors were made in preparation for COVID-19. And still more errors were made during the home's initial clinical response to the pandemic in March.
WBUR's Miriam Wasser has been following the story, and she joins us now. Hey, Miriam.
Hey, Chris.
So there's some pretty tough stuff in this report. Can you give us a sense? What were some of the key findings that were released today?
Sure. So this report, and just to back up for a minute, this investigation was ordered by the governor in late March after it came to light that a number of veterans had died in the Holyoke Soldiers' Home. And it was unclear why people higher up in the state didn't know about what happened and if there was a miscommunication or some sort of cover-up, which something people were talking about. So this report that came out today, first of all, it said there was no cover-up into the outbreak, which is something that we are looking to figure out. But more importantly, the report found that the fact that the outbreak occurred isn't itself an indication that the management team and State Department of Veteran Affairs failed. I'm going to read a quote here from the report. It said, some of the critical decisions made by Mr. Walsh, and he was the home superintendent who was put on administrative leave, and his leadership team during the final 2 weeks of March 2020 were utterly baffling from an infection control perspective and were inconsistent with the home's mission to treat its veterans with honor and dignity. Wow. So one of the most striking examples cited by the report is something that we have reported on in the past, which was the leadership's decision to combine two floors of residence in late March, on Friday, March 27th. And this move, they knowingly combined two floors of veterans where some had tested negative and some were presumed to be positive and had tested positive with residents that were showing no symptoms. So they mixed presumably COVID positive and COVID negative patients and said that they did this for staffing shortage reasons. So here's what the report said about that. Rather than isolating those with the disease from those who are asymptomatic, a basic tenet of infection control, the consolidation of these two units resulted in more than 40 veterans crowded into a space designed to hold 25. This overcrowding was the opposite of infection control. Instead, it put those who are asymptomatic at even greater risk of contracting COVID-19. So beyond the consolidation, and feel free to jump in here, the report noted six other substantial failures by the leadership team there. One was not isolating patients suspected of having the virus, not immediately testing veterans who showed COVID-19 symptoms, waiting too long to close common spaces in the home, rotating staff among units, not having consistent policies for personal protective equipment, and failing to properly document the problem and keep records.
So much of what you just outlined for us seems so obviously the wrong move when you're facing this kind of pandemic. I know the report included some thoughts from staff. What were some things that staff were talking about the situation?
Yeah, so staff and some of the stuff were things that we have reported in the past when I've talked to staff, but I mean, they... You know, there's lines in there about staff being traumatized from the decision. You know, they talked about feeling like they were walking people to. Here's a good quote. A recreational therapist who is instructed to help with the move said that she felt like she was, quote, walking the veterans to their death, and that the veterans were terrified. Another social worker felt like moving a concentration camp. We are moving these unknowing veterans off to die. And other people said, you know, I'll never get these images out of my mind. What we did, what was done to these veterans, where's the respect and dignity for these men? I mean, staff have been reporting all along that they've been horrified by the moves that management has asked them to make and that some of the things that they had to do.
Yeah, pretty staggering to see all that in one place. And as I said, it's some tough stuff in there for anybody. I'm sure family members of veterans who lost their lives to COVID are having an incredible tough time to read through some of this. Have you had a chance to speak to any of the affected family members?
I did. This afternoon, I spoke to a woman named Cheryl Malandrinos, and her father-in-law died from COVID-19 because of this outbreak. He was in the Holyoke Soldiers Home, and I believe we have a piece of tape from my interview with her.
I'm not surprised at what the report shows, being someone who's gone out, gone in and out of the facility a lot. We can see that there were definite missteps here, and those missteps led to veterans dying, and people need to be held accountable for that.
And do you feel like that's happening right now?
The jury's still out on that one. You can resign a position, it doesn't mean you're absolved.
So, as she said, this is obviously it's hard to read this report, but a lot of what they is in the report are things that they were hearing too from people at the home.
That's unbelievable. I think you asked there about accountability. That's obviously, I think, something a lot of folks are going to be thinking about now is who is to blame for this and what are the consequences? We've got a little bit of sound of Governor Baker talking about that at the press conference earlier today.
Our administration did not properly oversee the superintendent and his team during this tenure. The lack of oversight contributed to the tragic failure to protect the veterans at the Soldiers Home when COVID-19 struck vulnerable patients in the long-term care facility.
So we know Secretary of Veterans Affairs Francisco Llerena resigned yesterday. Do we know exactly what led to his resignation and what his role in this situation was?
Yeah, so Francisco Llerena is someone who also has no, or like the superintendent of the Soldiers Home, Bennett Walsh, had no medical experience, no oversight. I mean, no experience overseeing any sort of nursing home or medical management team. But it was Bennett Walsh, the superintendent of the Holyoke Soldiers Home, reported directly to Francisco Llerena, who then reported to Health and Human Services. And as we found out today, Health and Human Services Secretary Mary Lou Sutters asked Llerena to resign last night, and he agreed. Emails show that Bennett Walsh had escalated his concerns to Llerena, and it just doesn't seem like Llerena either took them seriously or brought them to the right people. There was just a lot of poor communication and a lot of bad decision making on both his part and on Bennett Walsh's part. That's one of the big themes of the report, is that the management team and the leadership of the Department of Veteran Services just made a bunch of bad decisions.
You mentioned Bennett Walsh, the former superintendent of the Soldiers Home, was placed on leave. Do we know, are there any further repercussions that he's facing at this point?
We don't know the specifics yet. Governor Baker did seem to hint that he was going to be removed from office when he spoke at a press conference earlier today, but nothing that we can confirm so far. As mentioned, he has been on paid administrative leave since March 30th, and a couple weeks ago released a trove of email documents that he said absolved him of blame.
It's just such troubling observations and remarks from the staff. You have to imagine there are a lot of people that were involved in some of the decision making, at least. Is there any sign of anyone else being held accountable for this, and how will that procedure play out?
Sure. So when we talk about the management team at the Soldiers Home, we're really talking about 8 or 9 people, or maybe 9 or 10 if you include Bennett Walsh. And what was clear from this report is that they were a tight inner circle that didn't talk to other people, didn't let others in on their decision making process, didn't take advice from others, were at times vindictive. And retaliatory against staff who spoke out. And we do know that a number of them have been, I believe 4 have either resigned or have been demoted. The director of nursing has resigned. And then the director of medical director at the home, a guy named Dr. Clinton, also resigned a couple weeks ago. And the report had some pretty scathing things to say about him. It talks about how he, he was only part-time, and there's someone quoted saying they didn't really feel like he had the organizational skills to lead the soldier's home. He just wasn't up to the task. So he was out. And as the report notes, it's unclear that anyone, he developed symptoms that he thought were COVID-19 in mid to late March and took himself to the hospital. Turns out he was COVID negative, but he wasn't at the home during the worst of the outbreak. And as the report notes, it's unclear that anyone else filled in to be the medical director. So you can really imagine it's the people leading this.
Wow.
There was no medical director in charge. There was a director of nursing and then Bennett Walsh, who again has no medical experience, reporting to Francisco Llerena, who also has no medical experience. And one other thing note is that, and we at WBUR, we reported this story a couple weeks ago, that in 2016, the state legislature created a position within the Department of Veterans Services that was supposed to be directly accountable and was supposed to directly oversee both the Holyoke Soldiers Home and its sister facility in Chelsea. And that person needed to have healthcare management experience. And that job was just never filled. Francisco Llerena says it wasn't filled because of budgetary reasons, but really this report is just pointing out the fact that at every level, there was supposed to be someone accountable. That person just wasn't there, that job wasn't filled. And it was just a giant mess.
Yeah, pretty gut-wrenching to read through some of this, knowing it's obviously a life and death matter for so many. I want to ask you for a little bit of big picture perspective here before we let you go. You've been keeping up with coronavirus's impact in places like nursing homes or senior care facilities. I'm going to throw a couple of questions here at you. Have we seen higher death counts at senior long-term care facilities? And is the state working to address that? And are there lessons from Holyoke that we can extrapolate to other facilities?
Yeah, so long-term care facilities account for 63% of all coronavirus-related deaths in Massachusetts. So I think it's fair to say that they've been some of the hardest hit facilities anywhere. As far as how the state is working to address that, the state has set aside about $260 million in a couple different installments for nursing homes to work on infection control practices, to get the PPE they need, to bulk up on staffing, to test people who need to be tested. And that is an ongoing process. The state had mandated that all nursing homes test everyone, all staff and residents in May. And the vast majority of nursing homes actually did that. So then they were able to use the results of that data to either isolate people who needed to be isolated or figure out what to do. And the state also established what it called a 28-point infection control plan that is a bare minimum of what needs to be done. And the state has been auditing nursing homes and assisted living residences since May. For ones that are not passing the audits, they're sending resources and helping them meet these standards. So I would say that the coronavirus pandemic has definitely illuminated a lot of shortcomings at some of these facilities, and whether it's short staffing or kind of the nature of congregate care in general. A lot of these things have been brought to light by the pandemic. And though we haven't seen any sort of like long-term changes yet or big legislative changes, people that I talk to do think that some reform is coming eventually, and that's something that we should be on the lookout for. So the final question you asked was, are there any lessons from Holyoke to be applied at similar facilities? I would say, though this isn't, yeah, I mean, I think the idea is that you need people who have medical experience in jobs that require medical experience, and that transparency is really important, and that things can get out of control really, really quickly, and it's important to be prepared.
Hard to process that as we're thinking about 76 veterans that left their home, that lost their lives just at the Holyoke Soldiers Home. WBUR's Miriam Wasser, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.